Okay, we're back with Heather Atwood with the story behind the story behind the recipe. And Heather, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Little mix-up in communications on my end, but here we are anyway. And Heather, so much happening now. The weather, again, turning warmer. An amazing talk last week with the Cuckoo Zabzi. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but just a great stuff last week. And this week, we have to talk a little bit more about stuff that's upcoming. And I know that you have you got some big things going on in April. So where do we start? Do we start with the food? Do we start with what's coming up on the 21st? Or what do you want to do?
Okay, let's start with what's coming up, because that will sort of explain why we're talking about this particular dish. Actually, two dishes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lovely dinner being held in honor of my cookbook at the Wenham Tea Room on April 21st. And what's really, really fun about this dinner is the chef who is preparing the food is Peter Capalbo, who used to be at Trist. He was the chef and owner of Trist in Beverly. It was a beloved restaurant in Beverly. And he's very funny. He's very, he's just very fun to stand around with. And that's what will be happening. People are invited to stand around in the kitchen with him. We'll all be drinking Portuguese wine. Mm-hmm. He'll be cooking fish dishes from my cookbook. He and I will be talking about the recipes, talking about the cookbook, talking about the stories. And he's so funny, and I really recommend it. It will be a very, very fun time.
Okay, and the Wenham Tea House, of course, the Wenham Tea House, well-known in the area. And what time is this all going to take place? Is this open to the public?
It is open to the public. You can purchase a ticket. I believe I should know the details better. The details are on my blog, The details, on heatheratwood.com. But I believe it is $60 a ticket, and that includes five courses and wines. And I believe it starts at 6 o'clock.
All right.
It might be 5:30.
Okay.
I can't quite remember that.
Well, again, just go to heatheratwood.com, and it's right there, right on the front, and it'll direct you to that. Very good. So, now, are you preparing a certain dish there, or is
it... Yes, well, we're featuring seafood recipes, and unusual seafood recipes that people will not have, they wouldn't have heard of the recipes necessarily, and it's either a recipe is unusual, or the seafood itself is unusual. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, skate is on the menu, and we're going to start with pickled shrimp. So people have had shrimp before, but they have not necessarily had pickled shrimp, which is a beautiful dish, by the way. And when people have it, they love it. It's something you can make ahead of time. It creates a beautiful platter of these bright, fresh pink shrimp with lemon slices and bay leaves. So I always say it looks like a Cezanne painting, the pink and the green and the yellow. So that's what we're opening with. And then we're having a Portuguese clam dish called clams, bolhao pato, and then the skate dish, and then the next one is the one I really want to talk about. It's really Portuguese home cooking. It's bacalhau à brás is how you pronounce the dish, mm-hmm. And it's traditionally made with salt cod, and this is what's very cool. Salt cod, French fried potatoes, and scrambled eggs, all tossed together with black olives on top.
Good
now,
heavens.
I explain that to people, and they go, oh, my gosh, that sounds just wretched. But it is so interesting and so delicious. It is one of the Portuguese favorite home-cooked meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want to talk about bacalhau for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah, so bacalhau is salt cod, right? And the Portuguese and the Spanish love salt cod so much that I am told in their language there is no word for fresh cod, because they could care less about fresh cod. They love salt cod. They think fresh cod is just insipid and, you know, and not worth cooking. Salt cod, they have so many dishes for salt cod that it said you could eat a different bacalhau dish in Portugal every single day and never, you know, never have the same one twice for a year. Salt cod has some health benefits. It actually becomes a different nutritional product when it's salted and dried. There's a little bacterial action going on there. So you've got fermentation happening, which truly changes the molecular makeup of the food when you ferment it. So, you know, I always, when I was researching fermentation and actually my cookbook, I came to realize that there are people who believe many of our modern diseases are based on the fact that our diets no longer include fermentation. In the past, every single culture on Earth had consumed foods that were fermented because they had to preserve food that way. So that process is basically vanished from our cultures. So, you know, that, and they believe that there were real health benefits that we're seeing now, you know, in certain cancers, supposedly.
All right, so hold on now. So are we doing the salt cod or are we doing the fresh cod in your recipe?
So, we're doing both that night.
Oh, okay.
Peter and I are going to prepare the dish both ways. We're going to make it with salt cod, and we're also going to make it with fresh cod.
So how do you do salt cod? How do you prepare the cod? How do you season it or whatever it's called?
Well, you purchase it. You have to find good salt cod because there. I promise there are different grades, and bad is bad. It's the one in the little wooden box. Don't buy it. The box is cute. The salt cod is horrible, and the killer. You know, the telltale sign is that you can't see that fish. So you should be able to see it when you purchase it. I go to a place called the New England Meat Market in Peabody, and they have beautiful salt cod. You want thick fillets. You want to see the whole fillet, and you want the wide part to be thick and white and meaty looking, because that's going to give you a good product. And you have to soak it. You have to think ahead. You have to soak it for 2 days. Changing the water really regularly, and it's a little bit tricky. I mean, you have to get used to working with it because sometimes you might not have soaked it enough. It might be a little salty. Sometimes it might fall apart a little bit too much. After I've soaked it for 2 days, I actually like to cook it very quickly, just poach it a little bit in milk, and that kind of does that final salt elimination. So, and after that, you can treat it. You can use it in any recipe that calls for fresh cod. It will not be the same as fresh cod. It will not taste the same. It tastes different. There's a firmer texture, and it has a taste that is really pleasant, but it is not exactly the same as fresh cod.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the cod au bras, or give me the whole name again.
I want to talk about the potatoes and eggs in this dish.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. It looks to me like this is a meal that is very, very filling, and with the exception of the potatoes, it's not that high in calories.
No, not at all. It's a high protein, really high protein kind of dish. So, but the really fun thing about the Portuguese is they love potatoes. Potatoes show up everywhere, and they love crispy fried potatoes, and they use it. They use them a lot. They also have stewed tomatoes. They put tomatoes in a layered fish dish that they make called colorada. But they love crispy fried potatoes. So that's one thing that's fun about this bacalao dish, right? You've got these classic crispy fried potatoes. But then you have those eggs, right? Mm-hmm. Where the heck did that come from? And this, now I'm going to move quickly, I'm going to detour quickly to Portuguese desserts, but I'll come back to the bacalhau. So while I was working on this cookbook, I did fall in love with Portuguese cuisine, and I began to find all these Portuguese desserts, and almost every recipe called for a dozen eggs. And I was like, what is going on with eggs and the Portuguese? You know, I've never seen anything like this. I'm not kidding. Every single dessert had a dozen eggs in it. And I began to search, Google that fact, and it turns out that in the 16th century in Portugal, there were a number of convents. And the ladies, the nuns in the convents, kept their habits very starched. So they needed egg whites to starch their habits. And consequently, they had all these leftover egg yolks. So they began a little cottage industry making pastries with the leftover egg yolks. And this has come to be, you know, really define Portuguese cuisine, all these eggs. So we have, you know, in the bacalhau au bras, we have the beloved bacalhau, we have the beloved crispy potatoes, and we have those wonderful eggs that the Portuguese love.
Man, that is the story behind the story. That is amazing. And,
amazing.
Oh, it really is. And you know what? Portuguese are very, very, for the most part, very religious and spiritual people, so it all makes sense.
Right, right, exactly. So, by the way, we'll be serving these little, they're called milk tarts, and they're made with eggs. That will be the dessert at the Wenham Tea House dinner, and they are luscious. They're just really a little simple custard baked in a little muffin tin. And when I first mentioned these to Peter Capalbo, he said, "Oh, are you kidding? You're going to make those? One of my chefs brings those in from a Portuguese bakery every week. Oh my God, they're amazing!" and they really are. You know, there's some eggs in there, but they're really delicious. So
fantastic.
We'll have those for dessert.
All right. Well, this is great. We're going to talk about more about the Wenham Tea House, I'm sure. But in the meantime, you've got to go to Heather's website at heatheratwood.com and check out what she just talked about. And she always has recipes on here that I can't even pronounce, but that's all right. Food looks great. She's got pictures to go with it. And, again, this presentation and event will be April 21st from 6 to 9 p.m., from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Wenham Tea House. And I suggest you make your reservations early because this is going to fill up pretty fast. And I don't think there's it's not a huge place over there, is it?
No. I think that we have 20 seats available altogether.
Well, there you go. And this is something not to be missed, so you better check in very early if it's not already sold out. Heather, I appreciate it. Anything else you want to mention before I let you go?
Let's see. I'm doing a cooking demonstration in Sudbury this Sunday afternoon. I will be making old boyfriend pie. And I think I'm going to leave that.
Old boyfriend's pie?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead.
Should I tell you what it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to know.
Okay. It's a really delicious scallop and potato and cheddar cheese pie.
Mm-hmm.
It is so yummy and served warm out of the oven. It is really delicious. And I'm not going to explain where the you have to buy my book or go on. You can find the answer online if you Google hard enough. Okay. Heather Atwood, old boyfriend pie.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to explain where that name came from.
Well, it reminds me when my wife was dating me before we got married, she introduced a dish called Rope the Dope Steak. So it sounds similar. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think we could serve that with old boyfriend pie. That would make a great dinner.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay, Heather, listen, again, I apologize for the mix-up today, but we'll get together again next Thursday at the usual place.
That sounds good, yes.
It does sound good. Meantime, you be safe, and thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. I love doing this. Thanks.
All right, Heather, me too. Thanks a lot. Okay,
yep, bye.
Bye-bye. That is Heather Atwood, who is a food author, author of a cookbook and a food writer, and every week she gives the story behind the story of the recipe.